This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Most charities in the Chicago area and around the country say the end of the year is when they receive the bulk of their financial donations. But monetary gifts are just one form of charitable giving. You can give the gift of your time, or in the case of the American Red Cross of Illinois, you can give blood. But blood donations slow down at this time of year, even though the need for blood is as constant as ever. I'm Rob Hart. We talk about blood donation and volunteer work with the American Red Cross of Illinois this week on At Issue.
Connie Esparza, Communications Director for the American Red Cross, and Emily Alanise, District Manager, Donor Recruitment for the American Red Cross of Illinois. Thank you for joining us today on At Issue.
Well, thank you for having us.
Now, describe the need, Emily, for donor blood, especially at this time of year, the end of one year, the beginning of another.
So this time of year becomes very hard in the world of blood. We have a lot of people taking vacations, going out of state, going to family outings, and really just not wanting to deal with the snow, which I think we can all appreciate right now. But it makes it so hard to keep up our daily inventory. A lot of people don't realize most of the blood we collect is used within a week. So there's not a whole lot of extra inventory sitting on the shelves at any given time. But this time of year, it becomes really difficult to keep those shelves full.
And then when we talk about just this need for blood, what is the biggest area of need? Is it blood? Is it plasma? Is it platelets? Is it all three?
It is truly all three. So especially our type O donors, if you know you're that blood type, which thankfully about 45% of people are, we use that in emergencies. So that's the type of blood we can just never truly plan for. But this time of year, our platelets, our plasma, our red cells, they're all going off the shelves rapidly quick. So we really appreciate anybody coming in.
You bring up a very good point, and that is blood type, where a lot of people probably don't know what their blood type is. It's on your driver's license. And even then, it could be your best guess as to what your blood type could be. So before you show up, if you want to donate blood and you don't know what your blood type is there a quick and easy way to find out?
Really, donating blood is the easiest way. So we will make sure you have that information. Like I said, we need all blood types. So I joke with people all the time. Do you know your horoscope? Do you know your blood type? And most people can tell me yes on the first one and no on the second. So it's a great thing to come out and find out what it is so that then we can have real conversations about how your blood helps our system the most.
Well, Emily, speaking as a Gemini, I really can't give you the answer to the other question right at the top of my head. I think I have to look at my driver's license.
And I'm wondering, because they did switch that. So now most driver's licenses don't actually have it on there. So we can answer that magic question. Other people will have paid for the extra test when they've been at a hospital or things like that. But I can save you the cost if you come out and donate.
Now, you said the most donated blood lasts a week. What happens after you donate? Once you're done, once you get the cookie, and once you're on your way, what happens to the blood you left behind?
So our blood all goes to a standard lab. It's right here in St. Louis. So I always tell people your blood gets to go on a mini vacation, even if you don't. We keep the actual bags here in Chicago. We do testing to make sure it's safe to give to a patient. And then within about 2 days, we release that blood for our safety reasons, and it is going out to our local hospitals. So all throughout downtown Chicago, suburbs, even if there's a critical need in another state, right? These massive snowstorms are hitting or flooding hitting our coast. We have a national system where we can make sure that blood goes when and where it's needed most.
Now, is the need for blood not only in the Chicago area but across the country, is it consistent, or are there some times where there is a greater demand compared to others?
So the overall usage is pretty consistent. I will say when we see these high travel times of years, people doing things like frying turkeys or going on jet skis in the summer. So these really active holiday seasons, we do see more emergency usage. So we are always balancing what our hospitals are using on a regular basis, plus what we call stat orders of, oh no, that was an unexpected car accident or emergency use mass transfusion. So we balance a need for both of those.
And then how has the process of blood donation changed over the years? Because yeah, I think I first donated blood when I was in high school 30 years ago as part of a service project. And in the 90s, they asked you a certain set of questions. That set of questions has evolved over the years. There are new restrictions. There are some old restrictions were taken away. How has it evolved over time?
So it's gone a long way, especially in the last 5 years. We've had some major FDA changes. So there is a trivial pursuit card out there that I try and rip up every time I see it that talks about you have to wait a year if you've had a tattoo or piercing. It is now as soon as you are healed if you were in a licensed facility in Illinois and many other states. But there's other things like our deferrals for sexual practices have changed. So for a long time, we had a lot of our men who have had sex with men deferred. And we are so thankful we get to welcome them back into our community of blood donation. And that's really come through tests and studies to make sure that we are able to get as many people in the door donating as we can. I'm also excited to say that there was a whole generation of people who lived in Europe who were deferred during that mad cow era that we thought was going to be a lifetime deferral. And we have now come a long way with those tests and studies that the FDA said, you know, there's really not the risk we thought there was. So now there's a whole military families and service members who at one point couldn't donate, and now they're able to donate again. I think my favorite personal change, though, over the years has been we used to have a finger prick. So anybody that's donated blood knows how bad that little finger prick hurt. We have changed it to now we can test just as a little band around your thumb. And so no more finger prick pain when you leave the blood drive.
Now, there are some people who they go every month. It's a thing that they do as part of public service. They're very proud of it. They're very happy. They feel gratified when they're done. But then there are others who, when maybe there's an office blood drive or that time of year rolls around, they have an extreme aversion to needles. And that is the one thing, the thing that keeps them from donating. So how do you win someone over in that situation?
I like to see who my person is. I had someone tell me a long time ago, I personally am not a fan of needles. So everybody laughs like, how do you do this? You don't like needles. And I didn't, but I was in college and I had a little patient story who was working with us for our blood drive on our campus. And he happened to be there to shake hands, to say thank you to people. And when he looked at us, I was volunteering at the time because I was too scared to actually sign up. And he said, thanks for doing this because the needles hurt a lot when I get blood too. And just seeing that little guy who was 5 years old and he could handle needles made me sign up that day and realize, okay, I can handle the finger prick if he can handle ongoing blood transfusions. The other thing I like to tell people is give it a try, because a lot of what I find with donors is they really have it in their head. So 80% of people, that finger prick was the worst part because all your nerves are there. We're doing it in the middle of your arm where you don't have a ton of nerves. So if we can get you past what's in your head about it, we generally can get you on a bed.
And also, if you start early, it gets you used for a lifetime of blood draws before your annual physical, too.
It does. And so it's one of those things that I am so thankful for all of our school leadership who lets us come into schools, because students are the best place to start. It's a fun day out of class. It's a fun day I look back on in high school and remember, you know, just people were coming in blood drop costumes and all over with the cookies, and everyone wanted to be in the gym. So the more we can make blood donation that life-saving party, the more people do it for the rest of their lives.
And then for those who are listening, and maybe we have helped them solve their fear of needles, and now they want to do it. But you also have to meet a couple of physical requirements, or kind of get yourself into a little bit of fighting shape before you can be a blood donor. So what are some things that you can do as a first-time donor to make sure that to make sure your blood is good enough, basically?
So I'll say it's the popular thing right now as we go into the holiday season. I want you to eat as many good meals as you can, eat iron-rich meals, and then come in and donate. There's no fasting for donation. We want you to have extra water before you come and donate and get a good night's rest, but truly that eating before you donate. So we're in the prime season of good holiday meals to get all ready to come in and have a great iron level then.
Now, you mentioned, Emily, that this time of year is a little interesting in as far as blood donation is concerned, because so many people are traveling and their routines are disrupted, or they have parties, they have other holiday traditions that they like to that come first, obviously. But we a lot of charities or nonprofits, they say the end of the year is when the bulk of the financial contributions come in. When is the Red Cross, as far as blood donation is concerned, when is your period of peak donation? When do a lot of people show up?
So our peak donation tends to be months like October, November, March, April. A lot of people, one, with schools were in session and they're working that way, they can have their kids be at school while they get over to a blood donation. When we go around the six federal holidays, so Labor Day to Memorial Day, 4th of July, Christmas, and New Year's, it gets really tricky for us to keep a good inventory of blood. People are off work, they have vacations planned, and we unfortunately get pushed off the list.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. I'm Rob Hart, and we're expanding upon our theme of giving. We've done a number of programs since Thanksgiving about giving, and today we're talking about blood donation with Emily Alanise, District Manager, Donor Recruitment, the American Red Cross of Illinois, and Connie Esparza, Communications Director for the American Red Cross of Illinois. And Connie, I want to bring you into the conversation and just talk about the larger mission of the Red Cross in Illinois and giving to the Red Cross of Illinois. That I mentioned that the end of the year is usually when the bulk of an organization's financial contributions come in. Is that the case for the Red Cross too?
It is. We are so fortunate and so thankful for the generosity of the Greater Chicago community, who year in and year out supports the Red Cross. People don't know this, but 90 cents of every dollar that we receive goes back to helping somebody recover from a disaster and an emergency. And we do, you know, we're in the midst of the year end and we're appealing to people. If you still haven't made a financial donation and you can, the Red Cross, every day is responding to a home fire, is responding to some type of emergency. But we understand that oftentimes financial donation is not a possibility. Fortunately for at the Red Cross, as Emily was talking about, there's other ways that you can help and support the Red Cross. Donating blood or volunteering your time, Rob, is so critical too. Be able to stand up and lend that hand when our neighbors have been impacted by a home fire, per se.
And we're zooming in on blood donation, but let's talk a little bit about the overall mission of the Red Cross. And back in my street reporter days, Connie, I would go to quite a few fires, and you'd show up, and the fire department is there, and the Red Cross is there. And normally, when everybody leaves, when the fire is out, and the family is calling the insurance company to assess the damage, your job is not done. So what does the Red Cross do to support people who may have been the victim of a fire or some sort of natural disaster?
Thank you so much for that question, because oftentimes people still don't know that they don't have to face a devastation like a...
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Home fire alone, that the Red Cross can connect them to resources, that we are that immediate hand and shoulder that they can lean on when they're facing everything they ever own go up in smoke. And you're very right. When the news crew has left the scene, when the fire department has put out the fire, the Red Cross is still there. They may be on a warming bus, right, with all the residents that were displaced. And we, in that moment, will make sure that everybody has a safe place to stay. That's our priority always. And if they don't, it's making sure that we're setting up that shelter. And we're so grateful to the volunteers who immediately, no matter the time of day, doesn't matter if it's a holiday, if it's the middle of the night, if it's negative 10, they will leave the comfort of their warm home to be there and make sure that we have that shelter, that we have feeding set up for people, that we are connecting them to mental health or health services. As you know, when you lose a fire, you lose everything that you had in there, including medications. You possibly left without your the devices that assist you in walking. And so we're there with our health services volunteers to replace all of those things. Medications, connect them to somebody who can give them their eyeglasses back. And also, you know, in the days after, is making sure that we're working with them side by side on their recovery plan. What does that look like? What do they need to make sure that they have their next place to stay, their next place to live, and replace everything that they had in the home that they lost?
What is it like for Red Cross volunteers, though? Because you are meeting people in what could very well be the worst day of their life. And we talk about recovering from a fire, and that is in many ways the best case scenario if you are just replacing property and then replacing your home or repairing your home because of a fire. You could also have volunteers who are dealing with people who have a relative was injured, somebody died. What is it like for the volunteers who are going into the situation? They're catching people at a very tragic and vulnerable moment.
It takes a core of volunteers, and every one of them is carrying out a specific role during that moment. Oftentimes, it's also the need for a disaster mental health volunteer who can be there and walk through the loss. And you talked about it. Sometimes it's a loss of a family pet. Sometimes it's a loss of a family member or friend. But it's also assimilating the loss of everything that you owned. And it takes a professional, it takes a mental health professional to stand there and make sure that they feel supported and that they know they're not alone in that process, and just assimilate the loss and the next steps. But we also have volunteers who are, you know, spiritual care. People, you know, they hang on to their beliefs, and sometimes in that moment they don't think anything's out there that's going to help them get through it. And our spiritual care volunteers make sure to remind them and stand there sometimes in silence, because that's all that's needed to feel supported.
When we talk about disaster relief, I mean, I mentioned before that I have seen Red Cross volunteers many fire scenes. But another scenario that just popped into my head just now was floods and flooding. And a very specific example was in the fall of 2008, there was some very heavy rain. The north branch of the Chicago River overlapped its banks, and numerous basements were flooded in the Albany Park neighborhood. And the day after the floodwaters receded, the Red Cross had a shelter for residents at a nearby park. And if you have a flood, that's another disaster where maybe there's very little loss of life, but the loss of property and very important property to you, heirlooms, memories, that they could be gone with the floodwaters, and the Red Cross is there to provide that helping hand.
And it's in every disaster. It doesn't have to be a home fire, as you were talking about. We want to make sure that people are aware that we are a resource. We are that support. We are also that organization that's going to connect you with other organizations that can come in and also assist you depending on the type of disaster that you experienced. But, you know, we just this past year, you know, we saw it all. Tornadoes, microbursts, flooding. Home fires, my goodness, just in the past week alone, are here in the greater Chicago area, we responded to over 47 home fires. That's over 220 people that we had to make sure had a place to stay and continue to have a place to stay because they haven't figured out what their next step is for an apartment or a home. And the easiest thing is we're so grateful to the fire departments who instantly think of calling the Red Cross, but sometimes that doesn't happen. And people don't understand. You can do that too, or you can do that for your neighbor if you know your neighbor or your friend or family member lost some was part of a disaster and lost their home. They can call the Red Cross at any time, and we're there.
As this theme of giving continues, we talk about giving financially. Or we also talk about giving blood, but let's talk about giving of your time and being a volunteer. And that volunteering for whatever cause that means the most to you can be incredibly gratifying. So what are some really great volunteer stories that come to mind of people who said, I've always seen the Red Cross. I obviously know the symbol. I know the mission of the American Red Cross, but I didn't know what good I can do until I knocked on the door and became a volunteer.
Rob, I have so many inspiring volunteer stories. There's volunteers who experience a disaster themselves, and this is their way to give back. There's volunteers who are retired and thought that they could just sit home and enjoy their time, and all of a sudden it's like, I have got to do something with my time, and found their way to the Red Cross. There's, there's youth volunteers, there's volunteers of all ages. And the interesting thing is that people think, well, I don't know that I can or want to get up in the middle of the night and go to a home fire. You don't have to. That's the beauty of it. There's so many different things you can do as a volunteer at the Red Cross. And a lot of those opportunities mean you don't even have to leave the comfort of your home. You can do it, behind a computer, because we need people of all backgrounds. There's, when you're managing a group of volunteers, you need human resources, you need logistics, you need operations, you need information technology. So all of those things are needed on a volunteer basis. In addition to, if you're a professional and you have a nursing degree, you're a medical doctor or nurse practitioner, physician assistant, all of those, social workers, therapists, you name it. But we need every background, we need every role. And whether you can give an hour a week or you can give 10 hours a week, it's all needed. Few people know that 90% of our workforce they're volunteers, and we just could not carry out the mission of the Red Cross without them.
And if you do approach the Red Cross as a volunteer, you say you want to do something, do you have the option of picking what you want to do, or does the organization match you up with a particular practice based on your skill set or what you're interested in?
You have the opportunity to pick and choose, what type of role you want to execute. And oftentimes I've talked to volunteers who come in thinking that they only want to respond to home fires, but then realize, wait, I have a background in XYZ and I see that there is a need for this, and end up, executing maybe dual roles when they respond to a disaster. sometimes, you know, you're sitting at a shelter and you're part of that shelter group that's making sure that people have what they need, but you're working on information technology project right there on the scene as well. So I invite people to go to our website, redcross.org, and click on the volunteer tab and check out the different opportunities, because there really is no role too big or too small for which I'm really certain we're going to find a fit for you.
You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. We are talking about donations, specifically blood donation, with Emily Alanise, District Manager, Donor Recruitment, the American Red Cross of Illinois, and just the larger mission of the Red Cross with Connie Esparza, Communications Director of the American Red Cross of Illinois. Emily, is that your story? Did you come to the Red Cross as a volunteer?
I did. So my very first Red Cross experience was the babysitting class. So I will say it was a benefit for me that people were very excited to hire someone who had that little babysitter card. And it was great to get to kind of do those services. I then was in high school and got involved with the blood drives. And it was a quick, easy way to volunteer and make sure we were making a difference. I moved out to Iowa for college, and I thought I wanted to come home. And my dad did not want to carry my stuff back down the 11 flights of stairs. So he said, please join a club, like do something. And thankfully, I joined the Blood Drive Club. And it was truly just one of the best things I did throughout college. So I studied hard, but I will always say that getting involved in that, doing that extra thing that brought me passion. I graduated in a time frame where a lot of people weren't getting jobs right out of college, and went and talked to the Red Cross. And I actually had thought I was working with volunteers, and one of said, no, this is a job for me. And so she encouraged me to apply, and I have been doing it ever since. But I remind people, you said something earlier with, we get to meet people on their worst days a lot of times. And we get to also interact people who have gone through their worst day, even if we weren't right on scene with them. And I have always loved that no matter what you're doing in life, Red Cross has a way to connect you. So if you're lost at college and want to go home, they can connect you with blood drives. If you had a fire and you're just trying to give back now when you've kind of gotten everything back together, we have a spot for that. So it's truly a community of people who just want to make a difference.
Now, do you have blood donation all-stars, people who show up every month and they do it with regularity? And among them, how many do it out of a sense of public service? This is their way of giving back. And how many do it because this is their way of giving forward? They were in the hospital. They needed donor blood. They recovered from their injuries or their condition. And now they want to pay it forward just because they know how much donor blood made a difference in their life.
We have a good mixture of both. So I will say our all-star donors are our platelet donors. They come into our fixed sites and the buildings that we run, and they are there for 2 to 3 hours. And so they can do that every 2 weeks. And we truly do have people who come in every 2 weeks and hang out with us. And those platelets only last for 5 days. So the fact that they're willing to give us that amount of time and constantly coming in makes such a difference, especially for our cancer patients and people who don't have an alternative besides those platelet needs. The other side of that coin, though, I do love just how telling stories and sharing what you're going through has inspired so many people. I have met countless people who are like, you know, my neighbor was going through cancer treatment, and I had no idea that every week she was going to go and get a transfusion. And so then they come in because someone's inspired them. So thankfully, it's a mixture of both. But I always say you could walk into any blood drive, and you know everybody in that room is there for the right reason, which is kind of a cool situation that you may not know their story. You may not know where they come from or their walk of life, but you know you're all there for the right reason.
I was going to say, this, it gives you an opportunity to really meet and get to know people, too, because even if you're just giving blood, you know, you're there for a while while you're squeezing that rubber ball, and you probably have the opportunity to chat up so many people over the course of your volunteer and professional life.
You do, and you get to see the coolest places. So blood drives happen all over the place. We were at Salt Shed this week, and I had a staff member run into me in the hallway today. They're like, I got to see the inside of the Salt Shed. And we get to go into skyscrapers, and we get to go into different buildings that you wouldn't necessarily get to go to every day, but you're making a difference. You get to put your feet up. So as a mom right now in the holiday season, anything that I can sit and do and nobody's asking, Mom, give me this, it's such a win that we get to do that.
Yeah, you get to ask, you can say, you can go to the volunteers and say, give me this.
Yes, they're going to bring you drinks and cookies, and you get to put your feet up. So I know there's a needle involved, but I promise we make it really painless after that.
Now, we talked a little bit about just giving the gift of your time as a volunteer. I would imagine the Red Cross cherishes all forms of donation, whether it's monetary, whether it's your time, whether it's blood. But, you know, what you mentioned, how, what a difference this makes in your life. If someone's listening right now and they say, and they're thinking to themselves, like, this is, you know, this seems like something that I can do in 2026. This will be my New Year's resolution outside of going to the gym more. What's your advice for somebody who wants to just jump into volunteering with both feet?
I was just having this conversation that I feel like right now is a time where many of us can sit and scroll on our phone and see worst case scenario. And we know who our people are, but have we lost some of our sense of community? And what I loved after having that thought and kind of thinking it through is every day I get to show up into communities who are there for the right reason and the kind of communities I want to be a part of. I don't know the people, I don't know their names, but I know that they're coming together to make a difference. And so that's what I look for.
And then Connie, I'll give you the final word on that issue as our time wraps up. What would you like to see more of in 2026? Whether it's people, you know, opening up their wallets, whether it's people literally opening up a vein to donate blood to the Red Cross, or would you like to see more people just show up to volunteer?
All three, Rob, really, truly. As Emily has talked extensively, you know, we're at a time of the year where blood donors are, you know, their priorities are elsewhere. Would love to see that. Also, volunteers, making sure that we have people who can immediately, you know, maybe travel 5 miles and be there for a community that was impacted in one way or another. So really, it's ongoing. We're in a continual response mode here in our across the Illinois region, meaning that we're always responding to something and always could use more hands to support each other. We could always use more arms to support, you know, those the need for blood. And just the difference it makes to have that financial capacity to be able to supply people with the things that they need. And we can only do it by the generosity of the financial donors.
Connie Esparza, Communications Director, the American Red Cross of Illinois, and Emily Alanise, District Manager, Donor Recruitment, the American Red Cross of Illinois. Thank you for joining us on At Issue. Next week on the program, we'll discuss the top stories in sports. Until then, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.